It is said that at this time, the gates of heaven are opened and the people of the Jewish faith have unfettered access to the ears and the heart of God. It is a day of atonement. It is a day of honesty that is come to after a period of deep introspection, a period in which the people of the Jewish faith who observe this practice look in the mirror and come to know themselves. And so this morning, with deepest respect, we acknowledge this high holy day and we seek to gain some enlightenment from its teachings. I'll open with these words adapted from the Yom Kippur writings of Rabbi Jack Reamer. Now is the time for turning. And for us, turning does not come easily. It takes an act of will to make a turn. It means admitting we have been wrong, and this is never easy. It means losing face and starting all over again. It means saying, I'm sorry. These things are hard to do. But unless we turn, we will be trapped forever in yesterday's ways. The rabbi prays, oh God, help us to turn from callousness to sensitivity, from hostility to love, from envy to contentment, from fear to faith. Turn us around, oh God. Bring us back to you and turn us towards each other. Turn us towards each other, for in isolation there is no life. Friends, it seems to me that the lesson of Yom Kippur is expressed in this plea, and turn us towards each other, for in isolation there is no life. And that comes on the heels of really looking at ourselves, at real self-examination. And you know, last night, some of you were here with me as we saw the beautiful, wonderful musical production. And you know, the Roach sisters, Maggie and Suzzy Roach, they impressed me for many reasons, but mostly they impressed me because they were Maggie and Suzzy Roach. No excuses, no dross. This is who we are, the real deal. They were authentic. They were here completely being themselves. And friends, you know, that's not something we all experience all the time. As much as we would like to, we have concerns, we have shames, we have fears. What would others think? Boy, they really impressed me a lot, and I thought, that is the essence. Coming into connection with who we really are, being authentic, and sharing it. So here we are at Yom Kippur, this turning towards each other being the very purpose of this time. And this turning is about transformation. And that is the essence of atonement itself. Because for too long have we allowed greed and envy and fear to keep us from transformation, to keep us contracted, to keep us closed, to keep us separate. And as Unitarian Universalists, I do believe that we are called to step out of that closeness, to step into the world arena. That is what we're doing with many issues and have done throughout history. Right now, we're looking very deeply at the new civil rights issue of immigration. I saw a movie the other night called The Visitor, which I would recommend to you. And it's a very powerful film about the inequities suffered by innocent immigrants in this country. And the UUA and our congregation are engaging this civil rights issue. And that is one of the ways that we look at ourselves because we're in it too. We're here. We've got a job to do vis-a-vis immigration. We've got voices and we've got action to take. So that's in large part how we can translate some of these days of awe lessons into our lives. Rabbi Michael Lerner talks about introspection and atonement in this way. He says, at Yom Kippur, Jews around the world will meet to assess how close we have come to actualizing our potential as partners with God and to discern what ways we have missed the mark. So do a little translation if you have to. But it's about how close we have come to living our full potential as human beings in this universe, in this interconnected web of all existence, in this universal humanity. How close have we come, and where have we missed the mark? Where have we seen opportunity but just been too busy or too lazy or too scared? We are not, he writes, we are not stuck in our negative patterns, but can fundamentally change ourselves and our world. On Yom Kippur, we realize that it's a wonderful blessing to be able to participate in the transformation of the universe by transforming ourselves. So there you have it. There you have it. And that is also part of our Unitarian Universalist culture, and that is why we have study action issues and issues of conscience on which we act to help transform the world. That's what we're called to do. So it's taken some time for me to come to this kind of understanding of Yom Kippur as a time of transformation and turning towards one another and expanding our hearts. I was raised in a very non-observant Jewish family in Manhattan, and we lived on the 14th floor, and there were two apartments on the 14th floor. Our apartment and next door were the Josephs, an Orthodox Jewish family. And they had a doll of a son who was 15 years older than me, and when I was about 10, I was madly in love with Billy. And when he was about 25, he married and broke my heart. But he married a Korean woman, which was lovely as far as we were concerned. However, his Orthodox family were told by their rabbi that that was not okay. And they sat Shiva. They acted like their son was dead because that was what they were advised to do. I was 10 years old. I didn't get it. I couldn't understand it. It turned me completely off to any understanding of the Jewish faith tradition. They were bereaved, but they were closed. And I didn't see any transformation there. My young spirit was traumatized at this specter of a wrathful God. It's no wonder that my understanding of Yom Kippur took a long time to heal, but then it did with a much more powerful story, a much more powerful story, a story of love and transformation. Because I married an Orthodox Jew. My first husband, George, came from an Orthodox Jewish family. They were Holocaust survivors. Many were lost in the war. His father was in a camp. He was in hiding for years in a basement in Budapest. And this was the family I married into. And within a year of our marriage, we adopted a Korean child. And we expected a pushback from these very, 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 very seriously Orthodox beloved people. Well, listen up, because this is good. They took the question to the most preeminent Orthodox Rebbe in New York. His eyes beamed and filled with tears. He embraced them and said, "It's a mitzvah. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's what God wants you to do." It was much more of a powerful lesson for me than the one that I had learned before. That was one lesson, and for me, misguided. I came to a new understanding, and so in preparation for Yom Kippur and the days of awe, I now understand that the Jewish people review their year and take stock of their lives. They bring their brokenheartedness, their sense of failure, before their God, their understanding of God. We can all do that. We can all do that. We can bring it to the universe. We can bring it to ourselves. We can bring it to this congregation's love. There's nothing to stop any one of us from finding a way to do that self-reflection and make it count for us. Words are not going to stop us. Oh, no. We're not going to let that happen here. So they have this sense of brokenness, call them sins or mistakes or shortcomings or weakness. The labels don't matter at all. What matters is the interior pain that each of us endures because of our feeling of imperfection, because we simply are human, and we find that so difficult to accept in ourselves and in one another. We use our brokenness to cause separation, to put up defenses, to close ourselves. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed how fear comes between people? That's why I loved those Roach sisters last night. They were the real deal. No apologies. No apologies. I admire that. And Yom Kippur becomes a day of forgiveness, which is so important. Forgiveness of self is the first forgiveness we have to do, because it's really virtually impossible to go elsewhere with forgiveness until it starts at home. So I beg of you and of myself this day, if there is one turning we make today, one turning, one act of transformation and of atonement, may it be that we turn somewhat towards self-acceptance, that we turn somewhat towards self-love, and that being human is exactly right. Being human is exactly right. How comfortable do you feel with someone who seems kind of perfect? I don't. I don't feel that comfortable. I want to be accessible. I want you to be accessible. Yeah, in the words of our reading together, we can forgive ourselves and each other, and we begin again in love. Beginning again, transformation is a very, very important message of this day. I just want to tell you a quick little story. My mother, my beloved mother, has dementia, and she has the aide from heaven, who I call my sister Wendy, and Wendy's from Trinidad. And when my mother was in the hospital and the doctors would come and visit, and I would say, "I'm her daughter Betty and this is my sister Wendy," and because she is indeed my sister. And Wendy was telling me a story that her pastor told at church. And her pastor told a story about how he used to live in California, and he had built this nice big house, and it had blocked the view of a neighbor. And he had just gone about his business, and the neighbor was very, very angry. Very, very angry. So the pastor did some introspection, some self-reflection. For him, it was some prayer work as well. And he was guided to go next door and to say those golden words, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry." will you forgive me? And he was also guided, he's of the Christian faith, he was guided, and I think it's a great idea anyway, to wash her feet. And he asked if he could wash her feet. And she said, I will let you wash my feet. This is an amazing story, folks. I will let you wash my feet if you will do one thing for me. I need a son. I need a son. I want you to be my son. I want you to be in my life as my son. That was 30 years ago. He calls her mom. She calls him son. They are a family born out of his human failing of selfishness and building that house, transformed by his openness, asking forgiveness, her offering forgiveness, and transformation occurred. I'll tell you one thing I know. Transformation exists. I see it. I know transformation exists. I'm positive. I've even experienced a little. And I think it's really, really, really important for us to get all of these messages which the Jewish tradition teaches us at this time. Self-reflection, serious self-reflection. We got a whole 10 days for it. Serious self-reflection with some gentleness and self-forgiveness, asking for forgiveness and seeking transformation. These are also the formative seeds of our universalist heritage, this seeking forgiveness, this opening our hearts, this knowing that we're one, that there isn't separation. May we cultivate that within us now. So look around you. Look around you. You will see transformation. That's your homework. I just got it. That's your homework. Make it a point this week to look for transformation in the world. You'll see it. You'll see it. And it should start to bubble up, and you should know that it's happening all over, and it starts with us. Transformation. We are more human than otherwise. May we forgive ourselves and each other over and over and over and over again, and begin again in love. It is a blessing to be. Blessed be. Amen. In closing, I will read from the closing prayer of the Yom Kippur service from the Gates of Repentance Reform Prayer Book for the High Holy Days, and this is what it says. And now, at the close of this day's service, we implore you, O God, let the year upon which we have entered be for us and for all the world a year of blessing and prosperity, a year of salvation and comfort, a year of peace and contentment, a year of joy and spiritual welfare, a year of virtue and reverence, a year that finds the hearts of parents united with the hearts of their children, a year of God's mercy and favor. And let the church say, amen. Amen. And may we forgive ourselves and each other and begin again in love. Blessed be. Let's join in our closing circle now.